The Environmental Protection Agency has proposed changes in the way hazardous industrial waste is regulated. The agency says the new rules would encourage industry to recycle potentially harmful materials. Critics say the plan would roll back a 25-year-old law aimed at eliminating toxic dumps. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
No two words are more synonymous with environmental catastrophe than Love Canal. The 1970s public health crisis was brought on when chemical manufacturers buried toxic waste near a blue-collar neighborhood in western New York. The waste contaminated groundwater and led to birth defects and higher cancer rates. The U.S. Congress took the discovery of Love Canal seriously and quickly passed a law aimed at preventing a repeat. Sylvia LaRance is a former top enforcement official at the Environmental Protection Agency. She says the backbone of that 1970s law is what's called a cradle-to-grave monitoring system.
That means that waste is tracked and carefully managed from the time it's generated in an industrial process until it reaches its ultimate disposal.
This creates a paper trail for waste, enabling government to hold industries accountable for the hazardous waste they generate. But industry groups say this regulatory system is inefficient and too expensive. Carter Kelly of the American Chemical Council says of the millions of dollars her industry spends to comply with the hazardous waste law, much of it is in vain.
A lot of the costs are really more administrative costs.
Things such as handling permits, training staff to manage waste tracking documents, and disposal costs. Kelly's industry thinks there's a more efficient way to manage waste, one that would get government out of the process in instances where companies pledge to recycle. And this is what the EPA has now proposed. All hazardous waste that manufacturers claim to recycle will be exempt from federal regulation. In other words, no more paper trail.
It would almost allow the company to say, well, this is going to be recycled, so you have no jurisdiction over this.
Ed Galbraith heads the Missouri Office of Solid Waste.
Well, when is it going to be recycled? Well, whenever. You know, you're going to find that waste is going to leak out of the system. It's not going to end up where it's intended to. It's going to be accumulated somewhere. It's going to be forgotten about. It's going to end up in a dump, in a sinkhole, and eventually in the groundwater and cause problems.
That's because even industrial solvents, metals, and chemicals destined for recycling can't be reused 100%, so there's still going to be hazardous waste. To prove this point, Galbraith invited NPR to a lead recycling operation in Boss, Missouri. Here, millions of lead batteries are ground to bits. What the facility can recycle, they sell back to manufacturers. And what's left over ends up in this amphitheater-like pit called a bunker.
In the battery bunker is where we store hazardous waste.
Current regulations mandate that all this waste is labeled, tracked, and safely stored.
We have a leak detection system in place that would notify us, let us know if there would be any leachate leaving this area and attempting to go to the groundwater. Okay, we can do repairs to the floor to prevent that from ever happening.
Operators of facilities like this fear that if the EPA proposal is finalized, they could find themselves competing with fly-by-night operators. David Case heads a recyclers' trade association.
Our companies have invested millions of dollars to obtain permits, to train personnel, to have the proper equipment, to do things safely, and they would be competing against companies that have no experience, are not permitted, are deregulated, and don't have the financial wherewithal to clean up when they make a mess.
The EPA proposal also worries environmental groups. Phil Clapp is president of the National Environmental Trust.
This proposal would take us straight back to the bad old days when industries simply shoved their toxic wastes at some recycling facility or some storage facility, and we had toxic wastes in barns and warehouses all over the country. This would be a return to everything that happened before we knew about Love Canal.
We certainly wouldn't support any regulations that took us back to the Love Canal days.
That's Carter Kelly of the American Chemistry Council again. She argues her member companies are not going to be let off the hook.
They would come under Clean Air Act standards. They would come under Clean Water Act standards. They would have to transport materials according to the Department of Transportation's hazardous materials transport regulations. So there are many environmental safeguards that exist today that didn't in the past when those sites came into being.
But the safeguards are still not as comprehensive as the current cradle-to-grave monitoring system, according to former EPA official Sylvia Lawrence. For example, Department of Transportation records are only required to be kept for a year. Lawrence says this means if there's a problem with waste 10 or 15 years after it's discarded, it will be nearly impossible to figure out who's responsible.
There'll be no requirement to track the waste. There will be no requirement to keep records on this waste.
The Environmental Protection Agency says its hands are tied. 3 years ago, in a case involving battery waste, a federal appeals court ruled that if material is reused in the manufacturing process, it cannot be considered waste and therefore is not subject to federal regulation. Here's the agency's Barry Breen.
So regardless of how dangerous it is, unless it's discarded, it's not under the waste office's jurisdiction.
Critics argue the EPA is taking a narrow ruling on batteries and applying it much more broadly to 2.4 billion pounds of all kinds of hazardous waste. The agency expects to finalize its proposal over the next year and a half. Alice Naubry, NPR News, Washington.